You want chaos. Chaos for everyone but you. Ruin the galaxy and then run back to your ridiculous wig and little workshop.
How confident you are.
We're done here.
Confident and terrified.
The building is surrounded. You're finished.
Hey, you're too late. The rebellion isn't here anymore. It's flown away. It's everywhere now. There's a whole galaxy out there waiting to disgust you.
All right, welcome back to Logic Gate. We are today talking about Andor, Season 2, Episode 10. Anybody know what it's titled?
Make It Stop.
Make It Stop.
Make what stop?
I was going to make an inappropriate comment. Never mind. Diving right in, where do we want to start? I mean, it's essentially...
There's pretty much one storyline.
I sort of broke it out into the Empire and Partagaz, and then Luthen and Kleya.
I mean, there's a lot of flashback stuff.
But yeah, it jumps around. I guess that's true. We could have broken out the flashback stuff. Anyway, the episode opens with... Oh, we should point out that this is 1 year later from episode 9, and it actually says that in the episode. So just to let you know that there's a large calendar leap in this episode from the last one. I forget. How did the last one end?
Aren't you going to introduce us, Mr. Yeah. Host person?
Yeah. Who are you again?
That's Jason.
I don't know. Say I don't know hi. Who I am. Because we're his friends.
Jason.
Yeah. You do the introductions today. You do. See how easy it is, Jason.
What's your name?
Danny Elfman.
Okay. What's your name? Person that I'm giving eye contact to. See, I'm better at this.
Stellan Skarsgård? I don't know. What are we doing here?
I'm not sure. I'm Scott.
Jason.
I'm Doug.
That's me. Okay.
Okay. I assume if you're 10 episodes into this podcast, you know who we are. But you're right. Fine.
It's professionalism.
All right. So Partagaz reports, I forget who he reports to, back to the Empire mothership, I believe, that Daedra thinks she's found Axis. If you remember way back, I think it was in season one, as part of the Ferrix insurrection, she was under the impression that this was part of a larger conspiracy and that whoever was in charge of it, she had nicknamed Axis. So this is a throwback to basically she's claiming that she's found the head of the serpent that is the rebellion.
So you're starting with the middle where... They've already found Lonnie dead and like...
What? No. This is literally how the episode opens. There's three pieces. We'll get there.
Oh, I don't remember this opening. The first thing is, isn't the alarm going off in Clay's and Luthen's shop? And that's when that starts the whole Lonnie thing?
Oh, maybe I wrote it down backwards and split them up. But yeah, sure. Okay. Is that how the episode... I didn't watch it last night. I watched it a week ago. So the radio alarm beeps in Luthen's shop. So that's the rebellion alarm on the radio that says, you know, hey, that somebody in the rebellion needs to talk to Axis, right? To the mothership. We see Lonnie walking outside. So we know that something's going to happen with Lonnie. We see Kleya. She loads a gun. So she is... getting armed for something. Luthen is basically getting dressed up for Halloween. He's putting on his full, you know, regalia. He's putting on, they make a note of him putting on his rings. It looks like he's going to go to a ball, like he's going to go be a formal, you know, trader, a trader. He's going to go do formal things.
Yeah, they basically realize like this is it. This might be the end, I think, at this point. They're like, Luthen says, or Kleya says, like, if it doesn't look perfect, get out of there.
Yeah.
And Luthen says, I think we've run out of perfect. And then he says, move to Kleya, which is a call forward to the flashbacks later, which is so cool, which we'll get to. But basically, like, we learn, that he finds her as a kid, and one moment he says, like, if I say move, you move, and that's sort of a callback to that.
Well, I think it's worth noting, now that I think a little bit more about it, so episode 9 ended with Mon Mothma making her speech and basically going into hiding. So here we are a full year later, and Luthen and Kleya are still on Coruscant, still running the facade of this... Mm-hmm. What do they do? What is their shop? They sell like historical artifacts. They're still running this shop.
Yeah, he's an antiques dealer.
And there you go, that antiques dealer. So despite all the things that happened with Mothma, Luthen and Clay are still in the public eye. They have not gone into hiding, I guess is what I should say. But you do point out that it's been a solid year since that happened. And they realize that the walls are closing in and that they cannot keep up this facade for too much longer.
This alarm has great significance. And like when he meets up with Lonnie, Lonnie's like, I didn't think this would even work, you know. Or he was just curious to see if this alarm would work.
So just to provide some clarity, because I think we've kind of danced around here a little bit. Episode starts. Partagas has this thing. Lonnie's friend is like, oh my God, Partagas wants to talk to you and something about finding Axis. That's what triggers Lonnie to be like, they think they found Axis. Mm-hmm. I should probably, and we're going to talk about their conversation in a sec, but I should probably use that Axis code that I have to Mira's files to see if they're going after Luthen. Oh, he goes into Mira's files and finds out, wow, this is way bigger than Luthen or them finding Axis. This is about, and we'll get to it, but the Death Star.
So Partagas knew that Daedra is putting this thing together?
Partagas knew about the operation she was planning. He did not know about the depth of her investigation.
That comes up a lot more in the next episode, too.
Lonnie had her access code to all her.
Mm-hmm. Does that come up in this episode?
Yes.
Yeah.
It's been a while since I've seen it.
So that's what prompts Lonnie to go, as Luthen says, ring the big bell.
The big bell.
The big alarm that's like, hey, drop what you're doing. We got an emergency situation here. So they're little spycraft signaling codes. He hits the code that says, oh shit.
Lonnie is convinced. He knows what Daedra is doing. She's putting together a strike team for a mission on Coruscant. I don't know if he has the details of what she's doing, but the fact that she's putting together a strike team for something going on Coruscant, Lonnie puts two and two together that they're probably coming for Luthen, which triggers him to ring the big bell, and then Luthen and Lonnie meet up like in the open,
right,
on a park bench essentially, and he tells him like, okay, the fit is about to hit the Shan. We need to get out of here. You need to get me off of Coruscant. You need to get my family off of Coruscant. I've been working for you for a long time. I've given you everything I had. This is the end.
Yeah. With one small caveat there, because he initially goes into her files to look for, is she going after Luthen?
Yeah.
But what he finds to be more important than finding out if she's going after Luthen. So when Luthen's like, is she coming for me? He's like, I don't know. But look, what I found makes that irrelevant. Like, here's the big news.
He finds the Death Star stuff,
program
basically,
is a lie, the and they're okay. building a weapon.
Yeah.
Yeah, he details the operation on Jeddah and with the Kyber crystals. And then, the whole thing with Gorman with the Kalkite as this energy program with this, you know. And so it doesn't like explicitly go into, he doesn't explicitly in that moment go into all the Empire or the Death Star details, but I assume he does. He gives most of that information.
He specifically says the Emperor's energy program is a lie. They are building a weapon.
Well, what he says is he wants to trade Luthen this information that he has to get his family off of Coruscant. He said, I've got big news, but I'm not going to give it to you unless you promise to get my family off of Coruscant. And Luthen badgers him and is like, "You tell me what do you have that's more important than them coming after me?" And then he proceeds to tell him about this Death Star plan. And this whole energy thing was a big cover-up.
Yeah, cut to Luthen walking away, basically.
So the only thing I didn't understand... Luthen reassures Lonnie. He says, hey, don't worry. We can escape to Yavin. Lonnie's never heard of Yavin. I want to go into that a little bit later. Basically, Yavin is this very public but also secret rebel base. Like, it seems like...
I think it's really secret. I think the fact that he mentioned it is a big deal.
Well, you're right, but it also comes up later. You know, like, how do you keep a base like an entire planet where all these rebels are and their ships leaving and, like... Does the Empire ever find out about Yavin? I guess they do because there's the Battle of Yavin, but that's way later. I'm just trying to figure out the logistics later. of how you keep that secret for so long.
Planets are far apart. I don't know.
Anyway.
So, well, actually, before we move on from that, I'm curious. Do you think that was a test? Let me back up. Luthen is decisive and calculating. He's not wishy-washy, and if he's made up his mind, it's rare that he would change it at the last second. When he's telling Lonnie, where could you take me, Yavin, mm-hmm. he already knows he's going to kill Lonnie at this point. Sorry, mm-hmm. spoilers, we haven't said it yet. Lonnie's dead on the bench.
Yeah,
oh my God.
Yeah, we can move on.
So was he saying Yavin to kind of test him? Like, Yavin, have you heard of it?
Oh, interesting.
Like, see what his reaction is?
That would make sense. I didn't put two and two together, but yeah, to see how far.
He had no intentions of taking him or his family to Yavin. He was going to kill him.
What I took is it's a legit piece of information that Lonnie could probably verify quickly in his head, say, oh, that makes a lot of sense. And that bargaining chip gives Luthen the ability to get the information from Lonnie. Lonnie feels comfortable now. Oh, okay. That is probably a legit place, you know, and so I can reveal. So then, I mean, they cut away, but I assume this is when he explains everything about the Death Star to Luthen, and then he shoots him in the middle of the open square.
Does he shoot him? Did I miss that? Like, all of a sudden, Luthen walks away and Lonnie's dead. I didn't see how he killed him.
You just see the bullet hole, or like a blaster hole in his chest, but you don't see him.
Okay, I was wondering how he died, because it was not obvious. Okay. Yeah. So, I mean, yeah, that's what happens is that he gets the information he needs from Lonnie. He executes Lonnie, walks away, and then goes back to his antiquities shop. And him and Kleya make plans to meet somewhere else. I don't know where they made plans to meet. But they like we said earlier, the walls are closing in. They make plans. We need to get the heck out of Dodge.
Kleya is like repeating, like quickly repeating key aspects of Lonnie's information. She says Gorman, Scarif, Kyber, Krennic, Urso. She's saying all the, like, Luthen clarifies Galen Urso, the inventor of the Death Star from Rogue One. Kleya continues, super weapon based in Scarif, fuel from Gorman, Kyber from Jedha, which Jedha is the planet in Rogue One where Saw Gerrera is, and they
blow
blast
up and
the
kill
city.
Saw Gerrera on the planet. Yeah,
yeah.
Also Donnie Yen, who's like so cool.
Don't get Jason started.
It's related, yeah. Anyway, so they agree to like do their thing. Luthen wants to do the burn, and that's when he goes to his shop.
And that's what they do, right? Is Luthen pours, I'm not even sure what it is. It looks like that acid metallic, I mean, it looks like mercury almost. He pours whatever this is on his radio. It's this metallic liquid, and it starts to smoke. And anyway, they're destroying the hardware that is the central piece of this rebellion radio connection.
You'd think he'd do it faster, because he's really just sort of like reminiscing, and then he sort of slowly starts pouring. Like, come on, there's a ring at the door. You know?
Right, you literally just murdered a dude. Like, hey, maybe speed up a little bit.
I kind of have a little bit of problem with that sequence where he's like pouring the stuff on the communications equipment, I guess. I will concede. I like that they're kind of destroying it in a thorough way that it wouldn't be forensically recoverable and not just shooting it with a blaster or something like that.
True.
Because presumably, you might still be able to get data off that hard drive, so to speak. So I like that they're being thorough about it. What I don't like is the pacing, the lackadaisical, like he's almost like wistful about it.
Yeah.
And
he might know that it's the end. You know, he may be anticipating everything that happens. Follows,
maybe he's accepted his fate.
Maybe,
you're right.
But it's also kind of not in character for him. That's not the Luthen we've seen throughout the entire series.
Not the cold-blooded, right.
I mean.
Well, but this episode really gives him a humanity. This is why I love this episode, is because it gives a human perspective to Luthen and what he's been through. And still, that makes sense to me, is him knowing it's the end and being like, well, I'm fucked. But also, I would not stop two-thirds of the way through with the acid thing before I go answer the doorbell.
That part really bugged me. Thank you.
I don't
you.
Know if it's going to come up, but like you see the forensic guy come later and like look at it and...
It does come
but
up later.
Why would he be compelled? Oh, no, they're coming for me. I got to destroy all the evidence and then try and escape off the... Oh, wait, the doorbell rang. Hold on. Let me
get that. I can sell one more antiquity. I'll get back to this later.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, so doorbell rings while he's pouring this... While he's destroying the radio. Goes out. Hey, sure enough, it's Daedra. They shake hands. They're meeting for the first time. She comments that... His shop is calm and peaceful, so there's neither one of them are letting on that they know who the other one is. Daedra even asks, she looks around at all the antiquities and says, is all of this real? Which I thought was a really weird thing to ask. Like, you don't walk into, you know, an antiquity shop and go, hey, is that vase real or is that a, you know, a...
So,
but, I mean, she's making small talk before she drops the hammer on him.
I would actually advise, if you have some time and you're just interested in it, rewatch that scene specifically. The dialogue is a complete subtext for their entire relationship, if you will. Okay. Like, it is...
Hmm.
It's interesting. All the dual meaning, double entendre from both sides.
Are you being real? Who? Yeah. Are you a fake?
Is this all real?
It's actually really interesting dialogue. So,
is everything real?
Ah, what a wise question.
Forgery is a sad curse of antiquities. At the moment, only two pieces of questionable provenance in the gallery. Any guesses?
I didn't think of it that way. That's cool. The other thing about the shop, though, I should just mention that there's like tons of Easter eggs in the shop that are like references to all sorts of stupid, geeky Star Wars stuff, which I don't know about. I mean, I know there's like Princess Amidala's helmet is in there in one little shot, but it should just be kind of like appreciated that Tony Gilroy, I don't know if it was him specifically, probably the props people.
But the attention to detail.
Disney, Star Wars people come in and make sure everything's right. But like they really put a lot of work into all these. Apparently there's so many references to Star Wars history in there.
Cool.
Yeah, no, I appreciate that. I mean, that's kind of par for the course, like the background of a lot of these scenes and sets.
There's a lot of detail.
Their attention to detail.
So much good detail in this show specifically.
Luthen mentions to Daedra that he does consignment. I think she asks him, you know, where all this stuff comes from. He says he does some consignment. She mentions, she's like, oh, interesting. You say you do consignment because I have an Imperial Starpath unit, but it's slightly damaged. Would you like to see it? And she pulls it out of her bag. And if you remember, wasn't the Imperial Starpath unit like the very first thing in season one that Cassian was trying to acquire?
I don't mean to like undercut what you're saying. She doesn't reveal that it's a Starpath unit until she pulls it out. That's her ace. When she pulls it out, that's her saying, I know you.
Okay.
I know what you're up to. See, I've got the evidence right here.
So, I mean, I think the implication there is that that's the Imperial Starpath unit from season one
100%.
That she's recovered.
100%.
That Cassian had to abandon.
Mm-hmm. And that started her whole investigation. Like, that's the thing that led her to him, essentially.
So that's how she reveals that she does know who he is. She mentions to him that the building is surrounded. Don't bother running. Like, it's over. We know who you are. I've got 87 cops outside. Like, you're not going anywhere. Luthen, I guess...
He drops the facade. Like, his character changes there from, like, the shopkeep... The character... You know, he was doing a character, and then he goes into Luthen mode, and it's pretty awesome.
He basically turns away from the camera. He walks away. He takes, like, one step away, and it's revealed that he has a bloody knife in his hand. So he's taken one of the ceremonial knives that's in this shop and stabbed himself in the gut, I assume, and then collapses on the ground.
Yeah, because she's talking about, we're going to interrogate you and find out everything you know. And he's like, well, I guess it's time to kill myself for the good of the rebellion. And thankfully, he's able to choose the one implement that he had in that whole shop, which is completely medically unrecoverable.
Yeah.
The mildly sharp blade that
it's a Nautilin bleeder.
Oh,
Nautilin bleeder. Okay.
Why didn't he just put a blaster to his head?
I'm thinking, like, if I'm Luthen and Clea and I know the walls are closing in, like, don't you keep a cyanide capsule in your pocket?
Thank you. This is, like, the dumbest suicide I think he possibly could have come up with.
It's almost like she caught him off guard, which doesn't make any sense because Lonnie literally just got done telling him she's coming for you.
And he was burning the communications equipment because he knew she was coming.
Yep. So Luthen stabs himself with a, what was it? What'd you call it, Jason?
A Nautilin bleeder, Nautilin is a alien species with the skin dreads and the bug eyes.
Oh, all right.
I know you're really interested. There's a Jedi that's called, I didn't write it down. There's a famous Jedi that's a Nautilin. It's different than the Twi'leks, which are the big tentacle thing. Huh?
What was Plo Koon? Was he a Twi'lek or a Nautilin?
I don't know who that is. Just say Nautilin. You'll never know.
Our listeners.
Do you know who the other Nautilin, the famous Nautilin Jedi is?
That's why I'm asking about Plo Koon. Is it Plo Koon?
No,
because he's the famous Jedi that I would think of when you're describing that.
No.
Okay. Then never mind.
Fisco. Tristan Fisco. I don't think that's right, but it sounds like that. Tristan Fisco.
We'll go with it.
Yeah.
She calls it, as soon as she sees that Luthen has stabbed himself and collapsed to the floor, Daedra calls in an emergency medical team. She screams, you know, he can't die. They need Luthen. They need the information that he has. They need to interrogate him to quash the rest of this rebellion. I mean, this is, what, the last 4, 5, 6 years of Daedra's life, she's been tracking Axis. She's been tracking this guy. She finally gets him, and now it's slipping through her fingers that he may not survive this, and then she's got nothing.
Which, okay, not to keep... I do want to get past this scene eventually. Luthen irritates me because it seems like he was caught off guard, like you said. Like, yep. He didn't have a suicide contingency planned out, which is very un-Luthen-like.
He should have a cyanide capsule in his mouth at all times.
I'm surprised he doesn't.
I would agree with
Clea
that a little
seemed
bit.
Way more prepared to...
And yet she was caught off guard, like, oh, I'm going to corner this guy and I'm going to throw the book at him. And did she not expect that he would do something like burn the communication equipment or try and kill himself?
Let him turn away from her, you know, like, to cover this up. Yeah.
Why are we doing this whole cat and mouse thing? Why not just come in with like 20 Imperial guards?
I think she wanted her moment. I think she wanted him to know I'm smarter than you. I've been hunting you for years.
Okay.
She finally got you. I don't need 600 stormtroopers to take you down. I did it myself.
She says, I've dreamt of this moment too many times to even remember. And you were right under our noses. Like And then Luthen, this is a badass line. Luthen says, and I've known you all along. Hardly seems fair. Which is awesome. It's like a really awesome interaction.
That is a cool line. And I'll concede. Yeah, okay. Maybe it was her pride.
I think it was a pride thing.
In context of the whole scene and the way Luthen was sort of acting out of character, it just... But I also, going back, I will concede, I agree with you, Nuge, Jason, the guy sitting to my right. This episode does humanize Luthen in a way that really makes you understand, while everybody else has sacrificed, what Luthen sacrificed for the rebellion and for the cause was his own humanity. Like, he gave up his own humanity and sense of decency to be able to do what he was doing.
He has that awesome speech in the sewers or whatever where he says, you know, whatever, I do all this work for a sunrise I will never see.
100%.
Like, so this is,
yeah.
All right, so Luthen collapses. Daedra freaks out. She calls an emergency medical team. A little floating medical stretcher comes in. So it didn't have wheels. Very Star Wars. It's floating off the ground. I did note that it had a little tiny R2 on it, like a half-size R2. So it had some sort of... The stretcher itself had a droid built into it, which I thought was a nice touch.
Cool.
Clea watches, from the sidewalk as Luthen is loaded into the back of this ambulance. She is horrified because I don't think she was prepared that Daedra was as close as she was.
But she also realizes in that moment it's a medical transport, which means that he's still potentially alive at that moment.
Yeah.
And she knows what she has to do.
Clea panics. She flees to the safe house that Cassian and Bix have been living in for a long time, or I guess it's been years now. The safe house is completely empty and it's kind of trashed. Like, no one's been living there for a while.
Yeah, I think the implication is that they found it, like the Empire found it, or Daedra found it and like searched it.
Oh, really? Because that was going to be my next question. Know. It comes up in the next episode too.
Oh, okay.
Okay, we'll cover that. Okay, so Clay is in the safe house. She's, I mean, safe at this point, so she's kind of processing Luthen getting possibly killed and trying to figure out what her next move is. She finds some stuff hidden in the ceiling, so she basically finds, what, a nurse's uniform?
No.
What does she find?
There's two items, which I thought was just so cool. It's not like Easter egg-y, but it's just like she pulls out and specifically shows this round device and then another like USB looking device, and she uses those later in her infiltration.
Oh, that's right. Yes,
she uses the round one as like a little key, like locking thing to get into a nurse's locker.
It was basically to get into like the locker system at the hospital, right?
Yeah. To get a nurse's uniform.
So I guess the question is, if Daedra and the Empire has found this and tossed the safe house, they didn't do a very good job because that stuff was kind of hidden in the ceiling.
She was pulling like this wire in the ceiling to like get it out from the top. You know? So it was pretty well hidden, I guess.
It comes up in the next episode too. She finds something else hidden in the safe house. So that's where I'm curious to see. The safe house has a lot of stuff hidden in it that no one has found. So she finds a USB stick, does some things, and then she flashes back to young Luthen. I wrote down she flashes back to him in Nom because he's basically in the military and he's kind of shell-shocked because
he's a sergeant for the Empire.
Yeah.
Appears, and he's on some sort of mission. It looks like he's freaking out and he's... because they're like slaughtering these people.
They're slaughtering innocent people, and he's kind of hiding in the ship because he doesn't know how to process it.
Mm-hmm.
At one point, he opens.
Well, this is where he says, "Make it stop," and turns off the radio, the title of the episode.
Okay. So he says the thing. Okay.
He says the thing.
As he's going through this ship, he finds a little, I mean, I don't even know what it was, like a cupboard or whatever, and he opens it up, and baby Clea is essentially in there. She's not baby. Yeah. She's, what, probably 7?
So the flashback, a lot of the flashback, you're seeing Luthen from behind the grate, from Leia's perspective, or Clea's perspective. Mm-hmm. Like you said she flashes back. So this took me a while to get to, which is the flashbacks are really from Clea's perspective the whole time.
She's essentially flashing back in the apartment as she's
doing the flashback. We're not just like seeing Luthen's backstory. We're seeing it through Clea.
She's processing his potential death. She's the only father figure she's ever really had because I assume her parents were killed on whatever this mission.
Because the only parts we see of Luthen are when he comes into the ship. Nothing before that, nothing after that. So that took me a sec to like actually understand, which is part of,
He basically tells her to continue to hide. I mean, what he should do is execute her. I mean, they should be, that's the mission that they're on, is to kill all of whoever these native people are. But he can't bring himself to do it because she's just a young girl. And so
this is his Finn moment.
Like Finn from episode 7, Finn?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. All right.
Finn did it first.
Basically, there's some other flashbacks. Long story short, he kind of ends up adopting her, becomes her pseudo-adoptive father.
Yep.
At one point, they are on the run because, you know, he's a soldier and she's hiding. And they're going through a town. They have scavenged some parts from some ships and they're trying to trade them. Luthen talks to the trader and he's like, "You know this is worth at least $20. And he was like, "Yeah, but I've got you over a barrel. I'll give you $7 for it." Long story short, whoever this 8-year-old girl is, talks up to this trader and basically renegotiates the guy up from 7 to 18. So, which kind of gets Luthen's attention, like, okay, this isn't just an 8-year-old girl. I mean, she's, you know, got some skills. She can think on her feet.
She's remembering the time that she's thinking she proved herself a little bit to him. And also, Luthen already knows about artifacts and stuff at this point, it seems like, all these artifacts. So it's like, from her perspective, Luthen is always just this expert, you know, and like resourceful and all of this stuff. It's all from her perspective. So you don't necessarily know if it's like accurate, objective. It's it's very subjective.
I guess that's a good point, because this is from the point of view of an 8-year-old girl, you know.
Yeah.
So, I mean, she's remembering 30 years in the past through the rose-colored glasses of somebody who's just rescued her from getting executed.
Yeah, that's
executed,
why I found this flashback so interesting. And, like, also just the fact that Luthen and Clea, throughout 2 seasons of the show, have basically been, like, one-dimensional characters for the most part. I mean, they're...
Right.
They are cool, badass people, and Clea is like, you know, a cold assistant. And you didn't really question where they're coming from necessarily, you just know they're badass. But like, to be smacked in the face with this backstory, I usually hate flashbacks. Like, flashbacks are usually like boring and like just a cheap way to like get filler information. But like, to have this information about Luthen really hits and like kind of explains so much more of his like behavior. So this is why I really appreciate this episode. And like, seeing Luthen is probably one of the best characters in this show too, to get more information from him.
It is a good way to give them backstory of, because prior to this, all we as an audience know is that they're just colleagues. They just work in this antiquity shop. Clearly they're both on the side of the rebellion, but we don't know anything about them. What this does is set up the next scene, which it elicits to the audience Clea's, I don't know what the word is, loyalty to Luthen is, because what she's about to do is insane.
Yeah.
And if you didn't have that backstory, you would absolutely question it. Why is she not run?
Yeah.
So let's go through the flashback just a little bit. As they're negotiating the trade for this artifact, some stormtroopers show up in town, and they mention that there was a sniper posted near this town, and someone in the town had executed this sniper, and this is not the first time that this has happened. So whatever this small town is, they're sort of fighting back against the Empire a little bit. And the shopkeeper mentions they keep finding people who did it. So basically the Empire is just coming back through this town all the time, and they're asking for who killed this person. In this particular instance, they pull 6 people out of the crowd, pull them into a very public execution, and just straight execute 6 people. So the Empire is flexing its muscle here that they are not beholden to the, you know, general decency laws. There's no Geneva Convention here. They can go into a small town and just execute people because they say someone killed this sniper. So Clea actually witnesses firsthand from 30 feet away this execution. So I think that's setting up her distaste, I guess, for the Empire.
I think when they killed her family too, I mean, that might
be part of it. That happens off screen. So that's implied, but yeah.
I think it's just a demonstration of how brutal and like indiscriminate and unjust, the Empire is in her eyes.
Well, yeah. And a complete lack of due process. I mean,
yeah.
Poor innocent people might as well have just been driving a boat off the coast of Venezuela.
Wow. Yeah.
I think there's an interesting line here, because I think Luthen and Clea are at a cafe. They're at a Starbucks or whatever. And Clea is really frustrated. She's a kid, and she basically says, "What are we doing? What can we do about this? Like, they just keep executing people. We don't have any power to stand up." They're like, and Luthen's line is, I wrote it down, was, "We fight to win, and we lose and lose and lose until we win." So, and then right about that moment, he pulls out a button on his cell phone or whatever, and hits this button, and he uses this remote detonator to blow up a bridge way in the background.
You're just skipping over a little bit of significant
detail. You're mentioning 2 moments.
You know, you're right. I think I did. Yes.
But it's similar. Well, okay. So that part is when he says, "When I tell you to move, you move."
Mm.
That in that moment. And that's when they're walking away from that execution. But then a later one, when they're in that cafe, which is on Naboo, apparently.
Luthen, that's a totally different planet?
Yeah.
I guess so.
Oh,
yeah.
I didn't make. Okay.
Gives the option to be a. So I didn't totally understand it, but I think I get the conversation that he's having. He's basically just trying to emphasize that she's making a choice to become a rebel in that moment, you know?
So, agreed. She's angry. She's been angry clearly since her parents were killed on her home planet. Watching the innocent people get assassinated, executed. She's angry. she wants to blow shit up. He is making her pause and say, look around. It's beautiful. This is what you're giving up if you walk down this path. And she's like, let's kill him. And then he pulls out the detonator and he's like, if this is your choice, go ahead and make it.
Well, I think the other part of it is that he's trying to rein her in a little bit too, because she's angry. She's just like seen these people get executed. She wants to rush out there and just,
yeah,
and just shoot bitches in the face, right? And he's telling her, I get it. I want to do that too, but we fight to win.
Right.
We lose and lose and lose, but eventually we win.
His point is, we're not going to do this without being meticulous and right, thoughtful about it. We are going to think and not make rash decisions. And then he gives her the decision to push the button. She's like, you think I won't? And he's kind of like...
He says, you have every right, in like the most gravelly, awesome Stellan Skarsgård voice
ever. Yeah, that's pretty good.
You have every right. But then he pulls it away, yeah.
And that's significant, too. He pulls it back. He pushes the button so she doesn't have to sacrifice that little bit of innocence.
Something like that, yeah.
But his line after that is really cool, too, because he says, we made our choice, and we're leaving now. So the bridge blows up. He lets her know, hey, I'm on your side. I agree. We just blew these people up. We made a choice here. This was not an accident. We're on the same side now. And then they leave. So
she's no longer a normal girl.
She's no longer
innocent. It's very Leon the Professional.
Yeah, totally. Ooh. That good call.
Yeah.
Total vibes. Yeah, absolutely.
A little less pedophilia, though.
There's no pedophilia.
Yeah, in the book.
In the behind the scenes, there was a whole scene where she asks him to make her a woman, which is super creepy. Yeah, like it's on the DVD.
Wow.
Like they had 13-year-old Natalie Portman like trying to seduce. Yeah, it's weird. It got cut. Anyway.
Yeah, that's probably for the best.
It's definitely not. In the movie, in the theatrical version, he's 100% above board with her. Anyway. That ends the flashbacks.
The flashbacks.
We cut to back to Clea, and we see that she's using the USB key and whatever that she found in the ceiling to open up a bus terminal style locker. It has a yellow uniform in it, and she sneaks into the hospital where Luthen is being held. So she has some sort of key which allows her to get a hospital nurse's uniform, which she puts on and then begins the process of infiltrating the hospital.
I love how I got to go back to that piece of that device. It's just, they're so deliberate with these devices that she specifically hid in that safe house.
Did we ever figure out what it was? It's essentially a lock-picking kit that she got out of the ceiling of the safe house.
Yeah, there's two items that she got. You know, they've specifically showed these two items. There's like a little round gadget and then a USB drive thing. She's using the little round gadget to like get into nurses' lockers to get a nurse uniform in the hospital, which is where Luthen is under critical care.
She's gone to the hospital that Luthen is in. We don't know exactly what her intentions are, but she is attempting to infiltrate said hospital. She uses the circle thing. It's worth noting that we don't know what these items are. This isn't something we've seen in the Star Wars universe before.
It doesn't really matter. I just think it's cool to point these out because they specifically showed these items. She's getting these, and then she's using these specific things for specific purposes. And the little round thing kind of looks like the R2-D2. I don't know if I already talked about this, but the R2-D2 locking tool that he uses in New Hope when they're breaking in. To save Leia, you know, they're disguised as stormtroopers, and R2-D2 is like in the locking system.
Oh, I didn't make
that. Or like hacking into the computer. So it may be different. I think it just evokes that type of sort of.
This episode is full of a lot of Chekhov's guns where they show us a little item or whatever, and then we get to see it pay off later on.
Like before with the knife, Luthen shows Deirdre just as an example of a piece that might be forgery, and then he uses it.
Oh, he showed that knife to her before he stabs himself with it?
Yeah, she was asking, are they anything fake, and that was just what she... Okay. Yeah.
There was also the gun in the beginning of the episode, which he ends up using to kill Lonnie.
Oh, I didn't catch that one.
A literal Chekhov's gun?
No, literal.
Luthen's gun. Yeah. So what we see is we see Clea use this circle thing, which is essentially just a lockpicking kit, in the hospital to open up this kind of looks like a series of lockers. She ends up pulling out a yellow hospital uniform, which she puts on so that she can blend in. She's going to attempt to infiltrate the hospital dressed as a nurse. So she sneaks into the hospital where Luthen is being held. It is under heavy guard. There are stormtroopers everywhere. We cut up to, I forget what floor it is, 17th, 18th floor, something like that. Daedra is standing outside of Luthen's room, looking through the window at him. She's watching him like a hawk. She knows her entire career basically depends on Luthen surviving or not surviving this, because she needs to get information out of him. And if he dies, then all of this was probably for naught. So as she is watching over Luthen from the hallway, some other brass, top brass from the Empire, shows up to arrest Daedra.
Yeah, who happens to be Supervisor Hurt, which, you know, a couple of years ago was Daedra's assistant and now has been given the reins of the Axis investigation, to much of Daedra's chagrin.
It has leaked back to the Empire that Daedra's mission to acquire Luthen has gone south, and they are not happy that this is.
She's doing it completely off the books.
She's off grid. She's gone off the reservation.
The guy even says, "You waited until my day off." You know,
Hurt says that.
Yeah, Hurt says that.
So, like, he's probably been told to watch her because they know something's going on. And yeah. Then it's on his day off. He's sitting at home watching ESPN or whatever. And they're like, hang on, she's planning something. You got to come in.
Well, he initially came in because of Lonnie's death. Because that's when he initially was like rushing in to ISB. And then he talks to Partagaz, who Partagaz is the one that knew about Daedra's thing. I don't know. So yeah, it's she is in a risky position because she really wants to get this guy and she needs him alive.
Hurt ultimately ends up escorting Daedra away, or I guess not escorting Daedra away. He attempts to arrest her.
Right, but she leads the way. They don't cuff her. They don't restrain her at all. And she's like, okay, fine, let's go, as she leads the way out. So even when she's under arrest, she's still trying to boss everybody around.
Yeah, I think she's pretty confident that this is all a misunderstanding. She got the bad guy. She's accomplished like her life goal for the last 5 years. So she's going to march in front of Krennic or whoever and say, hey, I'm going to bring down the Empire. Back off. You know, maybe I broke a couple rules, but it was worth it.
Well, her boyfriend died in the Gorman invasion. She's been demoted, essentially taken off of her cases. Several of her like assignments have kind of blown up in her face.
The Ferrix thing didn't go her way.
Really in a desperate position. Really, that's what my take on it is. She really feels like she needs to prove herself to like maintain or at least gain an advantage in ISB to her superiors. So, and like I said, she knows if Luthen dies and they don't get any info, like maybe out of that like equipment that he was partially destroying, if they don't get any info there, that she's screwed. I mean, she's going to be arrested because this was illegal, this operation.
So she's led away or leads them away, whatever. And we cut to Clea and we see she basically steals a patient from another nurse. A nurse leaves a patient in a wheelchair in the hallway and Clea kind of comes up and just grabs this patient. I wrote down that the patient looks like E.T., like it's an alien race. It's not a humanoid and doesn't really speak English. She just starts wheeling this lady, person, alien, whatever, around as subterfuge.
Definitely like evokes like an old lady alien kind of vibe, but it's just funny.
She's trying to get up to Luthen's floor. It ultimately doesn't work. She has to like sneak up some back stairs. She's thwarted a couple times trying to get up. This building is under heavy security. They've got Luthen. They don't want anything else going south on this. There's a lot of guards here. So she's having a hard time getting up to where she needs to go. She ultimately sneaks up a back stairway. She sees a guard who tells her, whoa, 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 you're not allowed back here. You can't come up here. And she says, oh, I didn't know. And then pulls this gun out from behind this, looked like a serving tray she had, and just straight up executes the guy, Clea shoots first style, no hesitation.
Well, she triggers the explosion.
She triggers the bomb right now, next.
Next
she executes
okay.
the guy, walks up the stairway. Then she has a remote detonator in her pocket, which she hits a button on. So she's now on, let's just say, the 17th floor. She triggers a detonator down, I assume, on the street level, which causes everybody to panic. And a lot of the guards leave their posts and head down to figure out what this explosion was. So she sort of cleared the way. She's close to Luthen's room at this point. She executes two more guards, three more guards. Again, no hesitation. She knows her time is limited because who knows how long this distraction is going to last. She makes it to Luthen's room after executing these guards. There's nobody left. Everybody's Daedra is getting arrested. Everybody else is responding to this distraction. And so she gets into Luthen's room. We see Luthen on a medical table. He's, I don't know if restrained is the right word, but he's got some equipment over him. He's hooked up to some tubes in the ceiling. He is completely unconscious. Clea takes a look at him. She realizes that it's over. We don't know if she was planning on trying to help him escape or if she was planning on killing him, but I think at this point when she gets into the room and realizes that he's not mobile, that she has to make a hard choice. And that's what she does. She kind of looks at him and she essentially pulls the plug on his equipment, which causes him to die. And she kisses his forehead. She's
crying.
This is a father figure to her, and she's just had to make this really hard choice. She pulls the plug, kisses him on the forehead, and then she walks away. So the assumption is she makes it out of here. We don't see that. It essentially star wipes after this. But I did write down that after she pulls the plug and walks away, there is a super slow fade out on Luthen's last moments or whatever. So we're not talking, I want to say it was 5 or 10 seconds, this real slow fade out so that you get the impact of what has just happened, that she has had to make this hard choice to kill her father figure.
Yeah,
and that's it. That's the episode.
It really affected me, the end there. I don't know about you guys, but like the way she kisses him, his forehead there, really indicates, or at least I'm painting this picture of them and their relationship that I just got smacked in the face with their flashback and all of this. And that moment like was so heartwarming and heartbreaking because I get the sense that they've never shown affection to each other throughout their entire, you know, relationship. There's never been any sort of like physical or emotional like caring, you know, actual demonstration of caring. It seems like they've had a very cold relationship. And so just that moment to me was like very powerful. I think that it's just such a well-constructed backstory and moment. So, yeah.
And I mean, that's the episode. That's the end. Fade out. Credits roll. Do ratings real quick? That was all I wrote down in my notes. So did I miss anything, Doug?
No, I think that's about it.
Okay. I'll give it a quick rating. I'll go 8 out of 10. It was a singularly focused episode. There was basically one storyline. We get some cool backstory on Clea and Luthen. We get an interesting finale for Luthen. Good storytelling all around, emotional. 8 out of 10.
I would agree. I'd also go 8 out of 10. There were a couple issues I had with the setup to the action taking place where they were kind of uncharacteristically just unprepared or off. That felt a little forced to me. But other than that, pacing was good. Action was good. I like the fact that this is the first episode in the 3-episode arc, and it wasn't slow and trying to set everything else up. We're getting payoffs to stuff. So I appreciated that.
I mean, you guys are crazy. I'm giving this a 10 out of 10 score. Perfect episode. I loved it. I mean, this is the best episode of the show I've seen so far.
The entire series?
Yes.
This?
Mm-hmm. It had that much impact on me. And I think it's something, it demonstrates one of the things that you can only do with TV is having a long-running relationship that you follow for a long period of time, but then can fill in backstory and have all of that experience that you've had with these characters sort of hit you in the face and realize what it all meant throughout the series. It's just such a great payoff for that character, Luthen, the best character in the show, and to kind of get his backstory. And it didn't feel like it was trite or it was, you know, just an obvious backstory. It has some tropes to it, but the fact that it's really told from Clea's eyes is, I think, beautiful. I think it's a great episode of TV. It's very standalone. It's not, like you said, it's not setting up anything. It's a very good example for me of the show. So yeah, I think I did have some nitpicks, I guess. It's not like perfect, but I'm still giving it a perfect score. So
I'm curious what you say after the next episode, because it is very much a setup for the next episode. So let's say, okay, all right, cool.
Well,
great episode. I'm not going to argue with you there. I wouldn't say it's perfect
for me, because Luthen was kind of the coolest character. I don't know, but obviously, no, there has to be there's
really,
more to it.
Really, you think Luthen is cooler than Vel? I mean, she's my favorite.
That's that's true. You could make an argument.
There's a strong argument to be made there. Really. All right, that's it. Thanks for listening. Logic.
Gate out.
Beep, boop, boop.
I have dreamt of this. Too many versions to remember. And here you were, all that time, hiding in the shelter of imperial peace and quiet.
And I've known you all along. Hardly seems fair.